All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM. And tomorrow night, we're going to be at the ski show, at the snow show. It's called Ski Dazzle. It'll be at the LA Convention Center from 8 to 11 p.m., so come on by.
Right.
It's always nice to see everybody down there. It smells of snowboards and weed all night.
It's kind of a nice mix there. Yeah. It's really the only place you need to go. I mean, if you are somebody who skis or snowboards, this is really kind of, you can get everything you need at this one location.
And you'll never run into a bigger group that is so comfortable smoking pot in public. I mean, just being high in public. Wow. They walk around like they don't give a rat's ass. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm high. That's cool. Mm-hmm. All right, folks, we have a very big psychiatrist with us, and he deals with issues with parents and children.
Oh, boy.
And he is here to give me some tips as well as you. So if you have a question for him, his name is Dr. Sophie. He's going to be doing a huge, huge deal on Monday at the Skirball Center, is that right?
That's right.
All right. Dr. Sophie, nice to see you, man. How you been?
Thank you. I'm good. How are you guys?
All right. Doing well. The first thing I have to ask you, do you have kids?
I have one.
You have one child. Okay.
6 years old.
You're a psychiatrist or a psychologist?
Psychiatrist.
Oh, jeez. I get a little jumpy around these
guys. Yeah, you might need medication.
Well, I actually take.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yes, I do take Wellbutrin. Mm-hmm. I'm clinically depressed, doctor. I know. Tim, please. I know this is not about me, but since we do have a clinician here, I feel obligated to tell you that I do suffer from clinical diagnosed depression.
And radical OCD.
I have obsessive-compulsive disorder, some skin issues also. I know you don't deal with those. And epidermal problems, psoriasis, and various types of skin ailments. Mm-hmm. That's nice to see you.
All right. Well, if you have a kid, call him. All right. Ooh. Now, I do have a child. I have a 2-year-old child.
I know.
And you're going to have a big seminar on Monday. And what is the idea there? A lot of people come who have problems with their kids, or is it kids who have problems with their parents, or both?
It's probably both. But it's really talking about people and helping them understand how to parent better.
All right. Well, nobody could use it better than me.
I've heard.
You see, I actually think Tim is a good dad.
I think I'm a very good dad. I don't think I'm a great husband, but I think I'm a great father.
Well.
And I take my my child everywhere I go during the day. I don't have to leave for work till about 5:30, 6 every night. But I learned a great tip from Jesse Jackson. He said, when you raise children, it's not what you buy them, it's where you take them.
Yes, absolutely.
Isn't that right?
Sure.
So I'm on the right track, right?
Until the child abuse hotline calls you.
Yes. I had a friend who reprimanded his kid. And I know I've told you this story and I've told it on the air, but my doctor may not have heard it. And he told his daughter, like 10-year-old daughter, do your homework. And she said, F you. And he grabbed her by the shirt and threw her into her room and locked the door. And she said, I'm going to call 911. And he called 911 and gave her the phone and said, all right, you think I'm afraid of those bastards? Yeah. You don't think I could kill you before they got here? And he's in jail.
Yeah. No, I'm the medical director of foster care for the county.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
All right. So you've seen a lot of bad cases.
Totally.
I mean, you've seen a lot of kids who are, have really terrible parents.
Absolutely. It's the largest child welfare system in the nation.
Is it in Los Angeles?
Yeah. We have about 30,000 kids under our care. Some are out of home with
their parents. Wait, 30,000 foster kids in L.A.?
Absolutely.
In just the city or the county?
In the county of L.A.
You know,
the amazing thing is, Tim and Dr. Sophie, is that people in our community in Los Angeles or across the nation, it's very fashionable to adopt a child from another country.
Right.
People forget, or they don't realize, absolutely, or they never knew that there are so many kids right here in Los Angeles who need families.
Absolutely. And
you probably could get all colors here.
Totally. You know? And we're pushing adoption as much as we can. Our kids need a home as well as any other child needs a home.
Right.
We got a fast track to adoption now. We're attracting as many people as we can. We have about couple hundred a month going on. We're trying our best, but we have about 8,000 kids that need to be adopted.
Yeah, I saw a poster. I was driving around Encino, California, out there in the valley, and I think it was like Woodley and Ventura, and I'm at a stoplight, and I see a poster on the bus stop that said, fire stations and firehouses are safe houses. You can bring your
safe
child.
Surrender, it's a safe surrender.
Bring your 4-day-old child to a firehouse and surrender the kid.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, that's in the wrong place.
Right.
The problem with the people who live in the Encino Hills is not what can I do with my four-day-old child.
No, but it tends to be the problem of some of the kids and the teenagers in that neighborhood.
Is that right?
Absolutely. Girls that sometimes get themselves in a bad situation, they end up having a baby. We want to make it safe for them.
All right.
Yeah, it's important, I guess, to understand that you know, problems with children or problem child, it's not exclusive to one community.
I mean, absolutely not.
People think, oh, well, you know, I have a good job and I provide for my kids and they eat three meals a day. They go to private school. They may run the risk of...
Those usually become the biggest a-holes.
I mean, I have a private practice in Beverly Hills. I do foster care for the county. I see the gamut of people, really rich, really poor, people with resources, people without. Problems are the same.
All right. Now, I'd like to get your opinion on this.
Yep.
I do take my daughter to the zoo, the Santa Barbara Zoo, the L.A. Zoo. We go to... the aquarium, we go to the racetrack, I take her out to, you know, restaurants, I take her wherever I go.
Yes.
But I don't get a lot of strange looks at the racetrack, but when I do tell people who've never been to the horse races what I do with my daughter, they think it's like borderline child abuse.
Yeah.
And, see, I learned, you know, I think the first time I went to the track, I was probably in second or third grade.
Right.
So I learned at a young age, you know, it's fun to do. And there's a playground out there. It's outdoors. She gets exercise.
Fresh air.
And Dad has a cigarette, a beer, and is yelling at horses. I don't see anything wrong with it.
Yeah, well.
Now, what do you think about a two-year-old going to the racetrack?
I think that as long as you can keep her safe, you're okay. But there's going to be a point where you're going to not want to do that necessarily. She's going to say, you know, win, place, or show could be her first words. That's not good.
Well, I got her to say, come on with this three.
Right.
Come on with this three.
Right.
All right, but you don't think that's a healthy atmosphere?
Not necessarily.
But what about the togetherness?
That's her, by the way.
Yes.
You can hear it.
You know, Doctor.
The bonding?
I mean, yeah, that's together time that Tim's having with his daughters.
Well,
and
not
that
if
important?
He's drunk and he's smoking a cigarette.
Well, I don't drink when I'm with her.
Oh, okay.
And I don't drink and drive when I'm with her.
Well, that's good.
They'll
get to be that point where she's either going to say, I don't want to go, or you're going to know it's not right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we're not there yet.
No.
Yeah,
no,
we're not even
no.
close.
Right.
All right. So now I also have a problem with my daughter that she likes to eat a lot of junk food, right? And as much as I say, no, please, you got to eat the right food, it's very difficult for me to do that because, you know, she cries and she, you know, she says, you know, just a little bit of ice cream. Can I just have, you know, one spoonful? And, you know, how do you say no to a two-year-old? That's a big problem.
Well, as long as you limit it, you got to give her some choices. Right. I mean, the more you say no to now, the more she's going to want it when she can rebel.
Right. And when does that happen?
Oh, like around hormone time, 12, 13.
Different for boys than it is for girls?
Yeah, a little earlier for girls than it is for boys. You'll start getting a lot of pushback, a lot of attitude, some acne, some meanness.
Great.
You're horrible. You're awful. How could you have done this to me? You don't understand.
Right. And then at the exact same time, my wife will probably be going through menopause,
exactly.
So it's going to be a great atmosphere.
Exactly. Yeah. You better have a second
Can't
kid
wait.
Now.
So that's a solid 3 or 4 years that Tim has to look forward to.
Absolutely.
Yeah, good.
Right.
Good.
With the
that's
kid,
nice.
It could be 20 years with the wife. I don't know.
What are the best years for a child? Is it 2, 3, 4 years old? What's like a really nice year?
5, 6 is really great.
Yeah.
The personality starts to emerge. You get to really have a dialogue, get to have fun times. You're holding hands. They really say some interesting things.
Is that right?
Oh, absolutely.
That's cool. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. They really are happy to see you. They really mean it. It's a very exciting time.
Yeah. Well, she's not really thrilled. I mean, when I come home, she smiles, but she used to, like, run to me, and now she's, you know, sort of, you know, likes watching the cartoons. And I heard that, you know, having her watch a lot of television is not a good idea, but she does watch... educational stuff. So, like, she watches Dora the Explorer, and she actually speaks Spanish now.
That's great.
You know, she'll be walking down the street and, you know, se habla. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what that means, but I guess it means something in Spanish.
At least she knows what
that
means.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the best time. I mean, most people will learn a language before the age of 9 like that.
Right.
But
after
isn't there,
that, it's tougher.
Isn't there, Doctor, too much television? I mean, I am on the freeway and I see... There's, you know, big SUVs. I have no problem. I've been an SUV owner myself. And there's a DVD player in the back, and the kid is watching television in the car. And then you know when that kid gets home, that kid's sitting in front of a TV at home.
Yeah.
I'm not a parent, and it's not my place to tell anybody how to parent their child. But when I was young, and I'm, again, you know, nuts myself, but we didn't watch that much television. I think it's a problem.
I really definitely do. I mean, I know parents are trying to get kids safe. They're in the car. They want to get them focused and quiet. But, I mean, you really got to limit it. I mean, there are other things you can do in a car that are more educational, more family building. You know, those kinds of things tend to split people off. Everybody's geared toward their own screen. They're in their own world. Really, you know, it's a lot of stuff. It's a lot of TV. And I think, you know, more interactive stuff at home, educational stuff, like you said, is really the key.
Yeah, I have a very smart daughter, which... you know, is not that great. I would rather her, you know, be like really attractive and a cheerleader and really dumb.
Well, she is one of the cutest kids you'll ever
meet. But she's really, really smart. Now, my wife was told by her doctor to take omega-3s during her pregnancy.
Right.
And she did by the boatload. I mean, you know, whole house smelled like fish. And but I think that's one of the reasons why she is such a smart kid, because as you could probably tell with my, you know, huge vocabulary, science doesn't run through the Conway family.
Right. She got it from the Omega.
Right. There's no doctors, there's no lawyers. There's a couple of guys who are, you know, in and out of jail, and one a-hole with a radio show.
Again, Tip, don't be hard on the family. I mean, can I, please, you might have relatives listening.
Right, I do. all right, so the problem children, you know, the people who are, the kids are a pain in the ass, the kids are going to call 911 or a lawyer. How do you handle that?
I mean, I see all kind of kids, rich, poor, whatever. They come in, people say, I got to see my kid. Can you see my kid? They can't go back to school. They've, you know, disrupted something. They're stealing or whatever. Unless it's an absolute medical or mental health emergency, I want to see those parents first. I want to know what's going on at home, because really about 7 out of 10 times, it's that family dynamic that needs to be shifted a little bit.
Right.
Mom and dad need to get a better understanding, maybe unhook from it a little bit, step back, let's get a perspective. I give them 5 tips of kind of going through their lives. I want them to kind of see if their life's in balance. And it's a little technique I put together. It's called the sweep technique, like a broom.
Right.
S-W-E-E-P, sweep.
Right.
Sleep, work, eating, emotional expression of yourself, and play. And if you look at those 5 areas of your life, yourself as an individual, your kid, your family as a whole, you'll start to see things that are going out of whack. So that's what I go through with parents, to then really see what the strengths of those families are and what the needs of those families
In
are.
In so many cases, though, it would seem to me that a dysfunctional, for lack of a better term, child will grow up to be a dysfunctional parent. And then the whole cycle repeats
itself. I mean, oftentimes these kids come in and the people think they're going to leave with a prescription. I'm not a big medicator of kids. I thought you were. No, I really
am
not.
You bring a prescription pad with you.
Well, I have that. You're an adult.
Jay?
Yeah.
I thought you made some promises.
But, you know, like, I won't medicate a kid just to Band-Aid the kid when they're actually looking like the patient, but they're really not the patient in the family. And so it's all about role modeling. And kids, the beat will go on if you don't break it.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right. Dr. Sophie is with us. He is, that's pronounced right, Sophie?
Yep.
Okay. It's also my daughter's name. And you're going to have this big seminar come Monday. Let's see where it is here. It's at the Skirball Center. And what time does it start there?
7 o'clock.
7 p.m. at the Skirball Center. Where is the Skirball Center? It's off of Mulholland?
Yeah, 405 in Mulholland.
405 in Mulholland.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be big enough where people can bring their family, or, you know, they want to come by and see you speak. You charge them for it?
No, it's free.
It's free?
Come learn how to be a better parent.
Something people should bring their kids with?
Probably not. Because you want them to really learn and listen. And it's really about parents helping them balance themselves and get back into check.
Mm-hmm. All right. If you want to ask Dr. Sophie a question, can you stay for another segment with
us?
Okay. All right. 520-9710. If you're a bad parent and your kids are effed up, call us. Whoops. All the lines are full.
Look at that.
520-9710 and 888-520-9710. We do have probably the most effed up parents on the planet listening. So you're going to be getting some strange calls here in a minute. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. Dr. Sophie's with us. We're live at 97.1 Free FM.
Something.
All right,
that was
folks.
Weird. That was weird.
Welcome back. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM. Whitman was just yelled at by the good doctor.
Well, we have a psychiatrist here.
Dr. Sophie.
Right. Dr. Sophie is here. And I just revealed something to Dr. Sophie that I don't reveal to my own psychiatrist.
You lie to your own psychiatrist.
Please stop. Do a lot of people sometimes maybe get in that room and not tell the total truth about what's going on?
Oftentimes, they're not comfortable for some reason. Either it's a trust issue, or they don't want to hurt the doctor's feelings or disappoint them or whatever.
You know, that might be it. The last part might be it.
Yeah, you don't want to disappoint him.
Because I really like him.
Yeah, you don't want to hurt his feelings make him think he's not doing something to help you.
You know, speaking of lying to your doctors.
Please, Tim.
I go to the same doctor my dad does.
Yeah.
And I was talking to my doctor, and he said, how often do you drink? And I said, you know, a couple of beers at night. He said, you shouldn't do that. You know, limit to it just weekends, whatever. He says, be more like your father and drink just once or twice a year.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, oh, two generations of people BSing
the
same doctor.
Right, right, right. Everybody does that to their doctor about smoking, street drugs,
all of it,
alcohol, sex, the whole deal.
I know. I don't think I've told him the truth about anything.
That's all right.
All right, let's talk to George here in Hemet. George, you're on with Dr. Sophie. How are you?
Pretty good.
Hey,
George.
I
got a quick question for the doctor. I got a situation with my four-year-old girl. She's not eating. She doesn't eat anything but chicken, and I've tried everything to make her eat. She never touches any other food, and I'm fluffy, you know. My wife's fat, and, you know, it looks like I'm sure people think we're eating her food, you know. So what can we do to make her eat?
Well, is she healthy otherwise?
I'm giving her that Ensure Pedialyte milk thingy, but, she's healthy, she's smart, but she just doesn't want to eat anything but chicken.
And is she in a school or somewhere? Does she go to daycare or something?
Yeah, she goes to preschool and she doesn't eat that. They give her food over there. And
wait, she's eating chicken all day?
That's all she eats.
That's not unhealthy.
You know, I'm obsessive compulsive. Yeah. That sounds, doctor, maybe like it's a kind of an early symptom of some OCD.
It's a lot of rigidity.
Oh, man.
No, it's a lot of rigidity. I mean, do you see it in other areas of her life? Does she have a ritual going to bed or anything?
No. That's it.
And is she happy otherwise?
Just happy otherwise.
Then let her alone.
Then leave her alone.
Leave her alone. She'll let you know when she's ready to eat. As long as she's eating, she's fine.
You know, like, I wear too much us, and my wife and I, you know, be a little fluffy.
It's not a problem that the child is really eating exclusively only one thing. Shouldn't there be more diversity?
Yeah, there should be more diversity, but if you're not seeing that kind of an issue other places in their life where, you know, they only do one activity and they only have one friend and they have a bedtime routine that they get locked into, then let her go. She'll loosen up. I mean, once she starts going out and she starts tasting things that are good, she'll do it. It's really all about control. That's what it's rooted in. She's trying to control something. So kind of look around. Is she anxious? Does she separate from you guys okay?
All right. Well, I think he hung up. I think
he went to make some chicken.
He went to get chicken McNuggets for that kid. All right. Sheila in Lancaster. You're on 97.1 Free FM with Dr. Sophie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. What's your problem, baby?
I have a 15-year-old who has been expelled from school for making terrorist threats.
Wow.
He punches holes in the walls. He's hit me. He has threatened my mother. He's very vulgar.
Is this last?
Doctor, clearly there's a problem here with this.
Sheila, is this child in any treatment at all? He's very angry.
You know what? He was in treatment from the age of 8 to 13. Then he just refused to go anymore.
Right.
When he was 8, I was diagnosed with cancer.
Yeah.
And the day I was diagnosed, his father left.
Why? Yeah. Wait. Was the father left because you were diagnosed with cancer?
Yeah, he left a note on the pillow that said, "Can't do cancer, sorry," and just
wow.
left.
Wow. Can't do cancer?
Was he a poet?
Jeez.
Well, at least you got to know that ahead of time. At least you know it ahead of time. He needs really somebody to connect with. He misses his dad. You got to get this rage calmed down for him. So get him connected, even if it's not medication and treatment.
He's been through every shrink in the county.
No, he needs a big brother, somebody like that to role model for him.
Bring him in here some night. We'll
take care of him.
What's your relationship with with him?
My relationship with him?
Yeah.
Well, I'm on a permanent ID.
Yeah.
He's tried to pull it out.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's told me that he's going to kill me in my sleep. I've woken up.
Yeah, you got
standing over my bed with a knife.
Yeah,
my door locked.
Yeah, he's very angry and he blames you for a lot, but he loves you. So, I mean, I would really get him a role model.
He has said it straight out. It's my fault his father left.
Yeah, and he'll have to work himself through it. But you really got to keep him and others safe. So, you know, really get him into some kind of connected treatment of some sort.
But how do you do that when, you know, I've had CPS involved. They took him for 72 hours hold. And then released him because they had no reason to have him.
All right, you know we're gonna
call the sheriff. They've done nothing.
I know
the kid's a mess.
All right, we're gonna give you Dr. Sophie's number off the air. Okay?
Yeah, or you can get on my website and really send me an email and we can connect.
What's the website?
It's drsophie.com. drsophy.com. Sheila, email me so I can connect with you.
I'll do that tonight.
All right, hold on one sec, okay?
right.
Hey, we're going to give you also a prize for calling up here. I don't want to send her to the tattoo parlor.
That's a little inappropriate to give her, you know, a prize.
Hey, the tattoo parlor is great.
Hey, listen to this. How about a pair of $50 MasterCard gift cards?
Oh, I love it.
You could use the dough, huh? All right, hold on 1 sec, and maybe can treat that kid to a meal or something.
Isn't that
2 years.
Amazing?
One for you and one for another friend. To purchase them, go to CVS Pharmacy or MasterCard.com/prepaid. There you go.
I wonder how many parents live in fear of their children like
that. A lot of parents live in fear. They don't realize that what they have done those several 5, 10 years before adolescence and teenage years have really enraged their kids. So then when you're going through that age-appropriate developmental stage of rebellion and then you have that other layer of rage, I mean, divorce has to be handled appropriately. Chronic illnesses in parents have to be handled. And really, parents, that's what I'm doing in the seminar, really helping parents be able to keep themselves together in balance and in check.
All right, go to this seminar on Monday. It's Monday at 7 p.m., and it is Dr. Sophie, S-O-P-H-Y. And how long is the seminar?
We're going to do about an hour and then a lot of questions and answers.
And it's all happening at the Skirball Center.
You got it.
Yeah, so get up to the Skirball Center, and if you got a kid that you're afraid of, which, you know, that's nice about having a daughter. You know, there's not a lot of guys that are afraid of their daughters. Oh. If you are, then your daughter's a major a-hole. But a lot of kids grow up, and, you know, 15-year-old kids could probably kick their dad's ass.
Absolutely.
And they live in that kind of fear. Right. Then they bring their friends over, and they're eating all the cereal, and their socks stink. I mean, sons are a pain in the ass.
Yeah, and you add some drugs or alcohol to that mix, you got a problem.
Yes. All of a sudden, you got a roommate.
Yes, you do.
You know, at 15, it's not a son anymore. It's
That's
a roommate.
Right. Exactly.
But how about that guy leaving a note? I can't do cancer.
Can't do cancer. Oh, my gosh.
And then he splits.
And he leaves that note on the pillow?
Right. Wow.
Whew.
Jesus Christ.
You know, parents really are in so many ways responsible for what their kids turn out to be.
Yeah, a lot of it is role modeling. A lot of it is, you know, not being available emotionally, not only physically.
Mm. All right, Dr. Sophie, 7 p.m. Monday, Skirball Center. Get up there, especially if you don't think you're doing a good job at parenting, which is like everybody, right? Everyone thinks they're a terrible parent.
You can always do better.
Okay. See, I think I'm a great parent.
I think Jim is a good parent, actually.
Yeah. I think I'm a good parent. I'm just, I wish I was a better a family member. I don't know. I'm an a-hole. All right, it is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM. Thanks, Doug.
Thank you.